Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Friday, May 1st. I'm Olivia Rose. A developer is considering using a part of his property in Petersburg for a small-scale data center. The proposal is between the Silicon Valley-based company Greenspark and the private developer who owns the defunct Ocean Beauty Seafoods property on the downtown waterfront. Borough Power Department officials support the idea. KFSK reports on why they say it could benefit local customers for years to come. Andrew Mazzella of Mazzella Alaska LLC grew up in Petersburg and says he wants to give his hometown a competitive edge.
I want to keep Petersburg on the map.
Mazzella bought the Ocean Beauty properties roughly a year and a half ago, including a large waterfront cannery, a bunkhouse, loading dock, pier, and plant buildings. It also included a 2-megawatt transformer. If you're not an electrician, just know that that's an industrial-sized amount of power. But it's not being used right now, and Mazzella gets fined thousands by the local borough utility department each month for that.
Having that large service with the transformer, we're just bleeding money if we don't use the power.
So he's been looking for a tenant who can. He caught wind of a data center proposed in Wrangell as part of a greater port development project partly funded by the city, and Mazzella reached out to the company to see if a private project could work in Petersburg.
With them utilizing the existing power, it's kind of the perfect tenant for us, actually.
Greenspark is a company that's trying to tackle the data center sector's intense resource demand issues by building its small-scale facilities in communities with things like unutilized stranded power and renewable energy. Although it's based in the lower 48, the company's founder and CEO, Sam Anoka, is from Alaska's interior. He says he wants to benefit his home state by bringing it this kind of tech and economy.
You know, this would be the most excellent proving ground for our business model. Almost anywhere in the world is going to be easier than Alaska.
Greenspark is considering renting space from Mazzella somewhere on the property. The exact spot hasn't been decided on. But the point of it is to use the former cannery's existing power infrastructure, that transformer, that's been going unused for the past several years.
We're designed to, you know, plug in and be an economic benefit for the utility and the ratepayers and the community. So, you know, if stakeholders are happy with that, we're happy. If stakeholders are not happy with that and don't want us, you know, then I think we really realistically have to consider moving on and looking at the next community.
Here's some facts to know about the project. Up top, this isn't like those huge data centers cropping up in the lower 48. You know, the large, noisy industrial facilities that use up an orchard's worth of water to keep their operations cool, fossil fuels, and can significantly strain local utilities.
By design, we've chosen to try to minimize any kind of impact like that.
Greenspark's data center, they say, would be a room full of computers inside a building the size of a small retail shop. Its closed-loop cooling system circulates water, so instead of drawing and discharging a bunch of water constantly, it recycles it. In other words, it won't be taking millions of gallons of water from the Wrangell Narrows or dumping waste there. Backers expect the data center to be quieter than the cannery, and perhaps most notably, this would not tank the power supply available in Petersburg, according to research by the borough utility. The borough presented information about the project at a late April assembly meeting for transparency's sake. A few residents testified too, voicing skepticism. Here's Greg Browning.
I could see a benefit, but I question the benefit during those peak load times or when there's a shortage of water. And from my opinion, due diligence up front on something like this is way easier than if we get made some promises that don't pan out the way the promises were made. It's a lot harder to go back on something like this.
Borough officials with the power department told KFSK that they were skeptical too when they heard about the potential project. Steve Harbor is the incoming utility director.
We were like everybody else in town when they first heard. It's like, oh, heck no, what are you talking about?
But then they did the math.
You can see that it isn't us just trying to shoot from the hip, come up with a number. It's mathematic and scientific, and it's just what we need.
Petersburg's retiring utility director, Carl Hagerman, says when he first ran calculations for the revenue this data center would generate for the local utility, he refigured it multiple times because it was so much.
I've been doing this for a long time. I've never had a customer walk through the door that was going to benefit all my other customers, you know, never. And this one did. And after we looked at it, it was like, wow, this will make a huge difference for every customer that we have.
The borough's power department supports the small-scale data center project because they estimate it'd bring in $1 to $2 million in revenue each year by operating that privately owned transformer. It's like adding hundreds of residential customers with just one small facility. And it's using an existing service. In other words, more revenue at no more expense. The department assures that there is enough surplus power to support the data center operation. Utility rates in Petersburg, which has one of the cheapest energy rates in the state, are projected to increase about 4% for the next several years. When rates rise, that'll affect energy costs for the data center along with everyone else. However, Hagerman and the department say that the data center would lower that figure to about 2%.
That's what we're looking at, and why we're supporting this so much is that we can see visually what kind of a difference it's going to make for our customers, our ratepayers.
He says although it wouldn't eliminate the need for rate increases, the data center would help suppress the impact. Petersburg runs on hydropower. It has its own plant south of town, but buys most of it from a regional supplier that sends power to three communities, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. It also has diesel generators as backups when energy use is high or the power goes out, or during that regional hydropower supplier's annual maintenance shutdown. The community sometimes has to pay a diesel surcharge to offset the cost of using the generators in a given year. So customers are asked to conserve energy use during those times to avoid paying more. Hagerman says yes, a data center would require the utility to run generators more during those times. But he says when the data center deal firms up, the borough would and can form a written agreement with Greenspark, with the shared goal for it not to fall on the backs of all ratepayers.
They're a ratepayer as well, and the agreement with them is the important part to make sure that they either don't have an effect on the loads by shutting themselves off, or if they do have an effect on the loads and the amount of time that the diesel generators are on, that they kick in for their portion of the diesel so that, again, all other customers would not be affected.
But they haven't worked out that kind of an agreement yet. The developer and Greenspark haven't solidified their deal, and so the borough hasn't gotten any formal service requests for the potential data center. Hagerman says the local power department didn't drink the data center Kool-Aid. It's just math, and those figures imply some noteworthy potential benefits to the community. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose. Petersburg Municipal Power and Light compiled a list of frequently asked questions regarding the data center, from health to zoning to fire safety. We'll have a link to that document attached to this story on our website online at kfsk.org. Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed a bipartisan election reform bill yesterday, setting up a contentious override vote in the coming days. Senate Bill 64 proposed a variety of changes to Alaska's election system, especially around absentee voting. The bill would set up a ballot tracking and curing system, which would allow Alaskans to watch their votes move through the counting process and correct minor errors on absentee ballots. Hundreds of ballots with curable issues, especially on military bases and in rural Alaska, were not counted in the 2024 election. The bill would also speed ballot counting. In a letter to legislators, Dunleavy said he supported many of the reforms and even encouraged lawmakers to model future election bills on the one he vetoed. But Dunleavy said the ballot tracking and curing system wouldn't be, quote, responsibly built, tested, and deployed before the November general election. Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat who worked on the bill, says it's tough news.
It's a broken system, and he had an opportunity to fix it. It's a bipartisan measure. We've worked with very conservative members, worked with his office, and disappointing.
Willikowski said earlier this week he expected a joint session to override the veto could be convened within a few days. It's unclear whether the bill has enough support, though. It requires 40 votes, and the bill passed by a combined vote of 39 to 20 with one member absent. It's no secret that communities across Alaska have been struggling to retain teachers and childcare professionals. In Petersburg, a high school program hopes to address that need while giving students hands-on experience in their community. KFSK's Taylor Hecker reports.
Yeah, it's not stopping, is it?
On a Friday afternoon in Jill Lenhard's class, there are a lot of crying babies. Crying robot babies, that is. Right now, they're hungry.
We push it once, so let's go ahead and feed these babies.
The babies are new, and everyone's still figuring out how to use them, including Lenhard.
I took one baby home to see how it all worked. And I took it home in a grocery sack because I didn't want to walk down the street carrying a baby. But then when I got home and I laid it on a counter, Matt, my husband, was like, what is this?
These babies are a part of a dual enrollment child development class Lenhard is teaching this semester. Over the course of four classes, students can earn up to 12 credits at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. This semester's class is about kids up to age 4. Lenhard does a lot of hands-on activities. Each Wednesday, the high schoolers spend about half an hour observing classrooms at the elementary school and a nearby preschool. At this point in the semester, the students are pros. Walking up to Good Beginnings Preschool, sophomore Brody Whitethorn already knows exactly what the kids will be doing.
Today's usually the music day, and so we'll have our music lady there, and they will like come sit in your lap sometimes, but sometimes they just like run at you and just hop right in your lap, and it's so cute. Daddy's taking us to the zoo
tomorrow. Brody and her partner sit down in a circle with the preschoolers and their teachers. One kid immediately crawls into Brody's lap. They join in on the preschool's music time.
Monkeys in the cage, they're
afterward, the high schoolers reflect on what they've seen. Brody says one of the big things she's noticed is how preschoolers start to figure out their own emotions.
It's sharing and then like having like a kid wants something and asks like, hey, can you hand me that? And the kid kind of ignores them or doesn't hand it to them. And then they kind of get upset. But that's like just another thing that they're learning.
She says the preschool is exactly the kind of place she wants to work one day.
It's really, I feel like working with kids is like one of my favorite things because I have soon to have 6 siblings. And it's just, it's amazing.
Lenhard, their teacher, says this course helps students find careers working with children. That's what most of her students want to do when they get older.
Districts want to grow their own teachers, people who are, they understand these sort of more isolated rural communities in Alaska because they've grown up here and they really care about them. If we can grow our own teachers, students who want to go off and get a teaching degree and then come back and teach here, that's a really successful way to keep the population of teachers high.
And the students may have a chance to work in schools before they even graduate. The district's still working out the details, but students who have completed 2 of Lenhard's classes may be able to work as paraprofessionals while earning high school credit. Lenhard hopes that by the end of her classes, the students she works with will have a stronger sense of confidence.
I would love for them to just be very comfortable around kids, be able to just jump in and know how to help when they're with a group of kids, have a sense of accomplishment, like this is a path that I could take. If I decide I want to be a teacher, I know what I'm getting into.
Lenhard modeled this program after one in Ketchikan. She says she's been a part of discussions with the University of Alaska Fairbanks to see if there's a way to expand the program beyond the 2 communities. In Petersburg, I'm Taylor Hackert.
When I say freeze, good job, everybody.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.